I'd like to share a passage of Scripture that as we draw the series of sermons on the Sabbath to a conclusion, basically what we're trying to do is to get at the heart of what this Sabbath is all about. And maybe the song which the praise band just led us in was as good of an explanation as anything I could say. So if there's a bit of a redundancy to today's sermon, it's because sometimes we need to hear things several times before we hear them. And that's sometimes how God deals with us and just reminds us of what's essential. Because so many times in our lives, those things which are non-essential, we put to the front. And so it's good to be reminded of what's at the center of what it is that we should be doing as Christians, how it is that we ought to be living as disciples of Jesus Christ. And there's this wonderful passage from the 12th chapter of Hebrews. It's used in a lot of different contexts, but I really think it has a great deal to do with what the Sabbath is all about for us. And so in the 12th chapter, just the first three verses, we hear these words. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. May the Lord bless us a portion from his holy word. Now I have to confess, this has been a week. This has been quite a week for Darren and I. And I am reminded of, and I might have told you about this, my dad had a bunch of comics or cartoons on one of the doors in his office, and I always enjoyed looking at all those cartoons, and I thought a lot of them were really quite funny. And one of the ones that I thought was quite funny at the time was a picture of a preacher leaning over the top of the pulpit and saying to his congregation, he said, "It's been a horribly busy week, so if you all wouldn't mind, if you just shout out a few sins, I'll wing something for you." That used to be a funny cartoon, but after this week, I don't think it's funny at all. And so as I was trying to get myself prepared for today, in the midst of losing three members in a short period of time, and all of the preparation and everything that goes into remembering them through funeral services, and then looking towards today, I just thought, you know what? Maybe this would be a good day just to cancel services. And, you know, that was kind of my first response was like, one more thing, one more responsibility, one more thing that I have to get done, one more thing that needs to be accomplished. And then I thought to myself, well, that is like the dumbest attitude in the world to have. Because today isn't about me. It isn't about whether or not my sermon says anything to you at all. I mean, it's nice when it does. It's good when you get something out of the sermon. It's good when you have something to take home with you from the exposition of God's word. But that's not what it's all about. It's really all about us being together and refocusing our hearts and our lives. It is easy for me, and maybe for some of you as well, to get caught up in all of those things that seem so important. All of those things that seem to be pressing in on us from every side. So many things that we want to get done, we need to get done, we hope to get done. So many things that are just weighing upon us that that sometimes those things that are the most important get set to the side. How easy it is to lose track of where our time and our energy ought to be spent. And so Sunday morning isn't as much about whether or not the praise band does its usual outstanding job with the music, or whether I come up with something that's worth listening to or not. It's not about any of those things. It's just about being here and sitting still and being reminded of what's really important. I love how the writer of Hebrews, there's so much good in this passage for us to hear. I mean, he talks about that great cloud of witnesses, and we always think of that, at least I do, we have that tendency to think of it as all the saints who have gone before us. You know, the great cloud of witnesses, you know, because you think cloud above and beyond. But I think that part of what the writer of Hebrews is talking about is that it's good to be together with the cloud of witnesses, all of you, to find some word of encouragement, to find what we need in that hour, to be having that love and support from each other. And you know, it's funny, because as exhausted as I might have been from this week, the moment I got here and the moment I started greeting all of you, it seems as if that exhaustion was gone. Just seeing you folks, just being with you, built me up. Gave me some new energy, and maybe even gave me so much energy I'll preach for a good half hour, 45 minutes. And you have nobody to blame but yourselves. But that being surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses is something that we need. To have that kind of love and support, even if it's just in a handshake and looking somebody square in the eye and saying, "How are you?" And knowing that they care. Even if you don't give a full answer, you know, you don't have to. You know, sometimes we communicate by what we don't say as much as by what we do say. That great cloud of witnesses is there for us to help us to refocus on what truly is important. To focus on the fact that we have Jesus Christ to be the center of our lives. Now, there's a wonderful phrase in here, the author and perfecter of our faith. Now, we got to get this right. We got to understand this right. Because when the writer of Hebrews is talking about Jesus being the author and perfecter of our faith, we sometimes misunderstand what that word perfecter might mean. We understand the author, that it's because of Jesus Christ that we have faith. That part we get. But the perfecter of our faith, we immediately start thinking about the fact that we need to work harder at our faith. We need to get our faith perfect. We need to get it absolutely right. We need to have, you know, the faith that can move a mountain, and we got to work harder at it. And all of a sudden, to talk about Jesus as the perfecter of our faith becomes more of a burden for us, where that's not what it means. In the Greek language, they meant perfect as being something that is completed. Line drawn, nothing on this side, everything on that side. It is absolutely complete. And so what he's trying to say is that when we stress ourselves out, even with trying to be Christians, even with trying to live out a Christian faith, that we need to remember that our faith is finished and complete in Jesus Christ. It's not about how we live our lives that is going to perfect our faith. Everything has been accomplished through Jesus Christ. And we ought to go, whew, glad that stress is off of us. We need to just enjoy Jesus and need to rest in him and to find in him everything that we need for the living of our lives. So we gather together on a Sunday morning to refocus our hearts and our lives wholly upon the person and work of Jesus Christ and to find in there everything that we need. Everything that we need. If we could do that, if we could do that in our lives, how much stress would we have in our existence? If we could see that everything falls upon Jesus and that it doesn't fall upon us, we'd be so much better off. Now, this is going to be my two comic strip day for you. Because one of my other favorite comic strips is one that I saw, and I think I have clipped out and saved in a file, is a Family Circus comic. And I've always enjoyed them. And in this particular Family Circus comic, it shows the kids sitting at the table and there's one cupcake left. And of course, both kids want that cupcake. And so the mother, in her wonderful wisdom that only moms can have, says, "Now, what would Jesus do?" Good question in any situation, isn't it? And the kid answers, "Jesus would multiply this." We don't have to be Jesus. We need to rest in him. We need to trust him. We need to enjoy him. We need to find in him everything that we need for the living of our lives. But we don't have to be Jesus. So we gather on a Sunday morning to be reminded, to refocus our hearts and our lives in that sure and certain hope that we are not Jesus, but we can enjoy him and we can gain from him all that we need. For he is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Would you pray with me? Almighty and ever-loving God, how good it is that you've given us your Son, Jesus Christ, and that we can focus our hearts and our lives wholly upon him, throwing our trust upon him, and allowing him to be the guide of our lives, knowing that all of the responsibilities are met in him. We pray your guidance and your direction and your blessing as we seek to follow Jesus in the living of our lives.